Yeah, so you started with 10, maybe 12 people.
And so when you finished up there, 17 years later, in the middle of last year, what did those 10 people now look like?
Yeah, so we had service at three different sites across Fairfield through to Bosley Park. At one stage there were six services, but we combined one of them, so there was five services. On an average Sunday, there was about 450 people coming along across the services, and we have two youth groups, two Sunday schools, kids' church we call them. We're doing scripture in three high schools, five primary schools, ESL, a whole range of different things, yeah.
Safe to say there's a bit of change in that time. In the middle of your booklet, there's an outline for where I'm going to go with these questions. Partly that was for my own sake of just trying to think it through. Peter, what were the positives that people found in being part of a growing church?
Yeah, a few things. One of them, I think, was just general excitement and encouragement. So Fairfield is an area where not a lot of Christians move to. People don't think, I want to upgrade, let's move to Fairfield. And so it wasn't a church that grew through just Christians moving into the area and coming to the church. It really had to grow through people becoming Christians, which kind of is always harder work, I think, generally speaking. And so when you're seeing people becoming Christians all the time, I mean, and you would have experienced that when you know someone that becomes a Christian, it's just exciting. And you're just thrilled that someone has moved from darkness to light. So there's a lot of excitement and encouragement. And then that encourages you to tell your friends or invite people to church or to youth group or whatever it is. And so there's this energy that comes with being a church where you're constantly seeing people become Christians. Just a great thrill for me too, and a privilege to see, and very humbling to see God changing so many lives. The other great thing that I found about it was that it really kind of forced people to serve. One of the things they say, I came from big churches, and particularly amongst clergy, they say that in your average church, 20% of people do 80% of the work. I think it's more 10% of the people do 90% of the work, be that as it may. Generally in churches and more established churches, there's a small group of people who do most of the ministry of the church. That can't happen in small growing churches. Everybody has to kick in. Everybody has to serve. And so what I found was there was very few people who just came to church and sat in a pew and did nothing. People were serving in different ways, and sometimes they were smaller ways, but most people were serving. And then again, that just generates a culture of serving other people. Coming from big churches, you know, there was often problems with getting people to do cleaning, clean the toilets and wash up after morning tea and all the kind of what we would think were lowly jobs. Never saw that at Fairfield. We always had plenty of people who would put their hand up to clean and mow lawns and toilets. Not mowing the toilets, you know what I mean, cleaning the toilets, all that sort of stuff. So there was just this wonderful culture of serving, because they come in as new Christians. I've been Christians for long, so they come in as new Christians. Everybody's doing something to serve. And so it just encourages that. So it's just wonderful for me to see, coming from a big church where you're always bashing people, like, oh, we need more people to clean the toilets, and then in the end you're paying someone to clean toilets. So that was just a wonderful privilege to see. Great, in a growing church, yeah.
What were some of the negatives that people found in being part of a growing church?
Yeah. One of them was, while we found enough people to do cleaning ministries and mowing lawns and, you know, fixing leaky roofs and things like that, it was hard to find enough people to do the teaching ministries. Part of a church where there are lots of new Christians is that you can't put them in teaching ministries until they've grown and matured in their faith. And so we would often struggle with finding enough Sunday school teachers or scripture teachers. And in fact, in the early years, we had a group of people from St. Stephen's Church in Normanhurst a group of four that just came every Sunday from Normanhurst, who's about an hour away. Every Sunday came and taught kids' church for us because we didn't have people to teach kids' church. Another one of the negatives was certainly as the church grew. When the church was 10 people, each of those people had a lot of my attention as the minister. And as the church grows and grows and grows, the amount of time that you can spend with each person actually dilutes and dilutes and dilutes. And I think it was hard, particularly for the people that were there in the first years, who had a lot of my time as the minister, you know, 7, 8 years on, when the church it started small for a long time and then kind of grew faster in the last half of my time there. Particularly in that second half, they really struggled with getting less and less of my time. I think the other negative was, in a growing church, there breeds an expectation that everything is going to keep going well. But as churches get bigger and there are more people, sin becomes more evident. It's always evident whether there's two people or 2,000 people, but as it gets bigger, more things become evident, and the consequences of that are often a bit more widespread amongst God's people, and the damage that it does to the body of Christ. Yeah.
So all this is taking place. There's a lot of energy and excitement as people are becoming Christians, and we're seeing more seats filled up. There's the struggles as change comes and time and the implications of sin and all those things. What were the opportunities that became available for people in terms of ministry and for growing and that through that time?
Yeah, look, everything and anything. I've already spoken about the opportunities to serve in you know, things like cleaning. And obviously the more people there are, the more people you need to, for example, provide morning tea or supper after church. Food has been a big thing. So Fairfield, 90% of people in Fairfield are from a non-English speaking background. So a lot of Asians, Middle Easterners, South Americans and so forth. And a lot of them are what I call communities that are based around food. You haven't visited, for example, a Middle Eastern person or an Asian person unless you've eaten with them. If you go over and drop something off and spend half an hour with them, you haven't really visited them. But if you eat with them, then you have. And food's always been a big thing. And so, you know, I'm not sure what happens here. But for morning tea at St Barnabas Churches, you know, it's never a packet of biscuits. It's just this table full of food everywhere. And so that creates those opportunities. As time has gone on, as people have matured in their faith, you know, we're also getting a lot of young people, so that created opportunities to serve young people as youth group leaders. We found in Fairfield as well that a lot of people didn't find, although I thought they were capable, they didn't think they were capable to do teaching ministries, so we created a lot of helping ministries. So a youth group helper or a Sunday school helper, opportunities to go out and do evangelism. To set up for, you know, we have a huge carols thing as well with a big festival and stalls and just a thousand things, opportunities to serve. But the thing is that you serve,
yep.
And that you keep serving. You know, music, all that kind of thing. I think one of the most important things, though, I think in terms of serving, that I think we, over all that time we struggled with but tried hard, and many people still did, was just meeting up with people. I don't think you need special gifts. Just meeting up to pray with someone and to love them that way, that's serving. To meet up with someone, just to read a part of the Bible. You don't have to unpack it, you know, with, you know, all the theological depth of a professor. But just to read the Bible with each other and encourage each other in that way. Some people felt weird reading the Bible together. I said, just ring each other once a week and just say, how are you? Stuff like that is serving each other, listening to each other, is serving each other.
And amongst all that growth and change in relationships and sites and everything else, what things threatened the ongoing growth of the church and of people?
Yeah. What I found was that as our church grew bigger and as people became Christians for longer and longer and longer, it started to become like the churches that I'd come from in terms of negatives. So, like I said, most of the people there became Christians in my time there. But I've been there a long time. And I'd found some of the people that had been Christians for 10 years and then 15 years and then 16 years. You know, serving can be hard and tiring. And like in many of the established churches that I'd come from, people had gone, I've done enough. And so in my last years at Fairfield, I just noticed an increasing number of people who had served their guts out in earlier years start to become a little bit, I guess, lazy and thought they'd done their part. And what made that hard was not just that they weren't serving to what I thought they had capacity for, it discourages the younger ones at that point. So in the early years, everybody's serving and that encourages the new Christians coming in. And then later on, as people, I don't know, things change in life too, they're the role models for the new people coming in. And if they don't keep on serving, then the young people think, well, they're my role models and that's what you do. You serve for a little bit and then you retire from serving. Whereas in my mind, you retire when the Lord takes you home. And so that was a bit of a roadblock, particularly when we were starting to plant churches. You mentioned that you just planted a church in Jordan Springs, and actually you need those people that have been Christians for a long time and mature Christians to really step up at that point and to really lead from the front. So that was one thing. The other thing was that your resources really get far more stretched. Even just simple things like when you plant a church, do you have enough musos to plant the church? Do you have enough youth leaders? I know when we decided to have two youth groups, we're really stretching our youth group leaders at that point, running two youth groups and then two Sunday schools, all that kind of thing. And sometimes we made decisions not to grow because we couldn't find enough people to put up their hand to do the ministries for that. And so they were some of the roadblocks, not roadblocks, but some of the speed humps along the way to growing. But, you know, under God, it still continued to grow. We still planted three churches out of Fairfield. And
to take you off the questions, and we've got another couple of minutes. For us as a church in that 150 to 170 adult stage, four congregations, three sites, wanting to keep growing and reaching what's heading towards 24,000 people in our parish. Any final words of advice for us in terms of how we keep growing and keep united and working together?
Yeah. Look, as I was sitting there listening to what your plans are for the year, listening to what's happening with children and youth and all that kind of stuff, I was getting excited myself. Sadly, one of the things I've noticed going around churches in the Georges River region anyway, is that a lot of churches don't plan to do anything. Well, not a lot of churches. There are some churches that just don't plan to do anything, and that's what happens with the churches. Nothing much happens. And I thought that was some great ideas, and so keep doing all that stuff. But in the end, it doesn't matter how many programs you put in place if people in the church, you guys, aren't in there 100%. You know, I've been to a lot of clergy things and to get trained in how to be a better minister and all, and often they talk about people versus programs, which I understand. I get what they're trying to do, but actually programs don't exist without people. And so I'd really encourage you to get behind the things that you're doing. The other thing that I think I've learnt, one of the things I think I've learnt in my years in ministry so far, is that actually most programs will work, whatever they are. whatever you do, it's actually about the people doing them. Jim just mentioned before that he's kind of wearing out. And I just kind of said back to... Sorry, Jim. And I said to him... I said back to Jim, I don't know if you heard, I said, it's better than rusting. Rusting out. And a lot of Christians are rusting out. And so get behind the stuff that is being put on here. Work out how you can be involved. Not everyone can be involved in the same way. I remember... He died a few years ago, but one of the gentlemen at our Bosley Park congregation, he was wheelchair bound, quite elderly, and physically couldn't do much. And one day after church, he came up to me and he said, look, you know, I just can't do anything to serve. I want to serve, but I just can't do anything. And I said to him, Noel, look, one, you come into church every Sunday in your wheelchair, chronic pain, but you come every Sunday. And I said, Noel, I know every day you pray for this church and you pray for the things that are going on. What better thing? We should all be doing that. And so there's always a way you can serve, even if it's praying your guts out. We have this thing in our church called PYGO, P-Y-G-O, pray your guts out. But get behind it, because in the end, none of the programs will work if you don't get behind it. Yes, God's work and God's spirit, but God's spirit works through the people in the end, not through the programs. So get behind it. That's what I'd say.
Yeah. Well, we're going to pray. Thank you for sharing with that. Peter Chapman's going to lead us in prayer. After Peter prays, we'll be having morning tea. And keep talking about these things. Use that time to encourage one another with what we've heard. Share with someone what's the thing that's most challenged you this morning about being part of God's church, being the bride of Christ.
Our most gracious and merciful Father, eternal sovereign Lord, we want to acknowledge the unfaithfulness of your people throughout history and even now in us, by our very nature, tainted and stained by our sin and rebellion. It's difficult for us to express adequately our thankfulness for what you did for us as your bride to remove our corruption. But we are thankful. We thank you for Jesus giving himself up for us to transform us into a radiant church, holy and clean and without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless and united as one with him, our Saviour. When we consider the change you've made, what you've brought us from and to, it's very clear to us that it's not by us, but all by you in the power of the cross and the resurrection of your Son. Please help us to live appropriately as your bride, a transformed people. Please help us to be faithful. Keep us continuing to trust in Jesus and living in faithful obedience, rejecting the temptation of other things that would try and take your rightful place as our husband. Help us to love our church here and live in genuine thankfulness. And Father, as we look forward to the year ahead and the future ahead of us as your church here, where we look to grow under your headship, we ask that you would guide us. Change our hearts to be humble like Jesus, considering others more important than ourselves, and making the most of the opportunities that exist here to serve. Please protect us as your church here from the temptations that will come to threaten our church in the future. And help us to give ourselves to each other and to you in loving service. We commit these things to you, depending on you. Amen.